Wired Jesus Podcast, December 29th, 2007. Creative Commons licensed.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me and I walk alone.
Wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim.
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Well, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
Well, boy, we're pilgrims in an unholy land.
Hello, and welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast, the wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lyberg, and I'm glad you've come along for our journey together. Well, 2007 is finally drawing to an end. That's probably a good thing. For me, it's been a year of ups and downs, peaks and valleys I've shared with you, even though there was much more going on than you knew. After 2 months of silence, you now know why. I'm on what's called on leave from call. In church lingo, that means I'm no longer pastor at the church I served here in Chicago, and I'm looking for a new job. After talking to my bishop and leaders of the congregation, we all agreed the situation was too far gone to salvage. So I was given a 6-month severance package to give me time to heal and to look for a new congregation. So since the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I've been processing what happened and looking toward resolutions for the new year. The whole thing reminds me of a poster I saw on despair.com a few years ago. I mentioned them on a podcast last year with their wonderful satires of motivational posters. The poster I'm thinking of is titled Failure. Shows a guy who has just finished running a track race with his head in his hands sitting in some bleachers, and the caption below is, "When giving your best isn't good enough." Yes, wonderfully dark. But in a certain sense, it does sum up my experience of the 18 months I spent at this congregation. Back when I did my podcast on what I called my Job experience this fall, I had several of you who are pastors email me that you were going through much the same thing. Now, as Dr. Evil said, the details of my pastorate here are largely inconsequential. Suffice it to say, the congregation had its own issues before I arrived, issues that erupted into major conflicts, sometimes out of mistakes I made, often because I just happened to be there. Either way, my attempts to retool my style into something that could heal the congregation were too little too late. So an early end happened, and the congregation is going to have to wrestle over what happened, just as I'll have to. In the end, the reflection on what it means to be church got damaged, and sadly fed into the common perception that church people are just a bunch of hypocrites. And why would any sane person want to do that? My guess is some of you are probably thinking the same thing. You've listened to Wired Jesus for a while, you've connected to what I've said and tried to do here, and as one of you listeners wrote and has often been commonly said, "I like Jesus, it's the people in the church that bug me." Well, Wired Jesus became an issue for some folks. As was my desire to connect with postmodern. Some took it as time, or actually a cheating of time and attention that they and the church should have had, or as a remaking of the church into something I wanted. Well, perhaps. But I think in the end it betrays a way of thinking that's become too common in congregations. A way of thinking that has turned off too many people. People perhaps like you who have been listening for the past 3 years. Because somehow, some way, church is more than doing the same thing over and over again the way you always have. If you go back to Jesus, which I tend to think is always a good place to start, he summed up pretty clearly what he wanted his followers to do. Love one another as he loved, and to make new disciples, to call new people to live like he lived in relationship to God and others. Seems pretty simple, but it's not really. It's easy to love people like you. It's much harder to bring new people into your group, into your family, to love newcomers as much as you love old-timers, to love newcomers enough to change for them rather than asking them to change for you. It's a hard leap for any of us to make, not just in congregations. A transition from high school to college or college to work forced you to fit, forced you to change to fit in into the new place you found yourself. Your place in the order of things changes, you find you're no longer the focus of the world, part of a circle of friends, and you can find yourself very alone, looking for something familiar, something real. The sad part is we no longer look to the church for that missing part of life, that place of connection and real relationship in a world that often seems so shallow. And so, quite often, we find ourselves living alone in places where those relationships are right in front of our eyes. We just don't see them. I think back to when I used to do some consulting work back in Ohio with rural congregations on the outskirts of Ohio, actually on the outskirts of Toledo. Hard to believe, the suburbs of Toledo were growing, really like most metro areas, as people were moving out into the rural areas because of cheaper housing, but also because of a perceived lifestyle. Raised on Mayberry RFD and the Andy Griffith Show, and maybe even a little bit of the Waltons thrown in, there was a thought that moving out to the cornfields would help them connect to a simpler life. A life where you'd know your neighbors, where your kids would be safe, and where you could make friends for life. Now, as that happened, these rural congregations and communities struggled with these newcomers who wanted to be involved in their community, but who would also buy the old hardware store and turn it into a Starbucks, or convert the old Jones farm into a subdivision. Suddenly there was this clash of cultures that at its heart really was not about the trappings of suburban life, but the hunger for real, authentic, lasting relationships. The search for real love in a world that seemed so consumer-driven and so disposable. What I tried to do for those congregations as a child of the suburbs who lived a substantial amount of his ministry in rural congregations was to show them that they didn't have to give up who they were. They simply had to share who they were. If you want to know what family and community is, rural small-town congregations are a good place to start. They aren't perfect. They aren't any more than any church is. But there quite often is a dynamic there in which they understand that love is a constant. And one simply doesn't walk away from church or family or friends just because you got ticked off and go somewhere else. First off, because there isn't a whole lot of somewhere else to go to. But secondly, you've got deep roots there, and if you have been in a place for 3, 4, 5 generations, you can't walk away from that. And so the discovery for those congregations in preparing for these newcomers is that love is a constant, but it's a constant road of change. It's willing change for the sake of another, for the sake of a God who's greater than you are, and who has chosen to connect to you individually in the most real of ways. So if you're real in your connection with Jesus, you'll be able to be real in connecting with others. And that'll create a new culture, not just for you personally, but in congregations. And it's not rural, it's not suburban, it's not urban. But it becomes a real community of love, justice, and compassion that's shaped by Jesus. And I think that's what people are hungry for. Not a church. But a relationship of meaning and love that embraces us and is bigger than us. Hard part is that also means risk. And risk means being willing to fail. Something none of us enjoy, but certainly something congregations don't often want to even attempt. John Maxwell is a Christian motivational speaker who wrote an excellent book called Failing Forward. I think that's an apt way of looking at life in general. We learn so much more from our failures than our successes. And again, Jesus probably is a pretty good example. He risked everything and his disciples failed. They failed to stand by him in the end. They failed to hold a new church together. They failed to be like Jesus all the time. But their failure made them real. Their failure made them people I can relate to and be inspired by. You see, I don't need to be in a community that has a crap together, and who enjoy letting everyone know that they do. I want to be with people who have their hang-ups, their baggage and know it, but who are real about it and still love each other despite it. That's what church is. And in truth, that's what the church often misses. Because that's where most people outside the church are at, and if we're honest, it's really where many of the people inside the church are at, but don't want to admit. That's some of what I've learned this past year. Something else that I've learned is when life gets troubled like this, there will and can be suffering that seems meaningless in its cause. But it never has to be meaningless in its result. You might ask God, why? You may not get an answer. Or you, I think, will get an answer. I'm saying, God, what now? As the bumper sticker says, and I'll at least paraphrase it, crap happens. But as one old farmer taught me years ago, crap can grow really good crops if you use it. So, since I have a nice pile to work with, I think there's probably some growth to come, and some crops that God is going to harvest. Now, for those of you who are pastors and can relate to my experience, you know, many of those who had emailed me, check the webpage for some resources, and I'm going to recommend some things to help you keep your head and heart straight. I'm going to be doing some more with this over the year, this whole experience of being an unintentional interim. And if you need someone to talk to, just shoot me an email or Skype me. It always helps to talk to someone who really understands where you are. Now, for those of you who aren't pastor people, I have a hunch you understand as well. Any group will accept or turn on you. And in life, you have to make sense of losing a job, losing friends, or failing to reach a dream. But it's not the end. As much as it hurts, as dark as it may seem, the feeling that giving your best wasn't good enough, well, that's not really the point. The point is that God's best is better than anything we will do, in ways we don't understand, in ways that don't make sense. It's at those moments God becomes real to us, real in other people. We gain something we've longed for, but never quite had. Freedom to be who we were intended to be. Freedom to love and to be loved. Well, that's all for this podcast. As you may have noticed on the webpage, I'm still leading the Transformational Leaders Gathering in Orlando, January 19th through the 22nd, a gathering for creative pastors and church leaders. I've been on the leadership team for this for a while, and there's a link on the webpage, and we still have space available. If you happen to be an ELCA pastor or leader, there is some last-minute scholarship money that's been made available for registration and airfare. Click on the link on Wired Jesus for more info and get your registration in by January 9th. If you aren't an ELCA pastor, hey, you're welcome to come too. Sunshine and creative conversation. I just don't have any scholarship money to offer you, but it would be great to have you come down. As I said before, I'm going to be doing more with Wired Jesus. I'm going to get back on the Wired Road, and we're going to be looking at websites, podcasts, and what's going on in the Wired world. And consider that part of my other New Year's resolutions to learn. I'm going to plan to get down to the Michigan Ave Apple Store for a podcasting workshop with GarageBand. I'm going to do some updating of the webpage with links and other things. And I am going to get back to making blogging part of my regular daily life in the morning. As I told some of my mentors, I'm taking the time to learn to play again. To reconnect with real life rather than conflicted living. And Wired Jesus is going to become part of that again. Now, as far as my future, I'm interviewing with some congregations here in the Chicago area. I also have some feelers out in some other parts of the country. Some good friends have made some connections out there. And so I'm confident that I'll get planted somewhere before May. I just have to figure out what God's up to. But I wanted to get this podcast out before the end of 2007 to kind of share where I've been and some resolutions for the new year. So I wish you all a happy new year, that your Christmas was not just a merry one, but a real one. Here's to resolutions for the new year, for something more real than we experienced before. So until the next podcast, thanks for listening to Wired Jesus, and see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slot like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee.
Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two.
I wrote that.
Yeah.